This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Pitt, who is one of the key figures involved in one of the lingering debates over the Democratic version of health care legislation currently before the House of Representatives. He and Democratic Michigan Congressman Bart Stupak are very insistent on making sure that no taxpayer dollars are used to fund abortions through this particular piece of legislation. We want to get the congressman's thoughts on the president's visit to his home state today, as well as where things stand on the abortion aspect of this debate. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, the president making several statements today. First of all, once again, reiterating what he said last Wednesday at the White House and saying that essentially the Republican solution to the current health care problem is to loosen restrictions on the insurance industry. How accurate, incomplete, how would you describe that?
Very inaccurate, because although he wants more government intrusion and control, we want more of a market-based solution where you would permit individuals to get the same tax deduction treatment that a company would get if they provide health insurance, and we would permit people to purchase state insurance across state lines in a truly national exchange. You know, you can buy car insurance from a lizard, and you can't buy health insurance from your next door, you know, state or another state with a better plan. There are 1,300 insurance companies across the country, and hundreds of plans that might better fit your own individual need. And we would permit you to own that insurance so that you would take it from one job to another, one state to another. We'd permit pooling, national pools as well as risk pools in a state level. All of these kinds of things, along with tort reform that would eliminate defensive medicine practices, would make insurance more affordable and more competitive, give people more choices. We think that's the answer.
Congressman, I don't know how much of the president's address in Pennsylvania you had the chance to see today, but one of the things he said point blank was, we've tried the free market. That didn't work. What do you say when he comes back at your argument with a line like that?
I don't think he's correct, because we haven't had a truly free market. You can't purchase insurance across state lines. That's a free market proposal. So we haven't tried giving tax incentives to individuals the same way companies have it for providing insurance. There are lots of other things that we could be doing rather than going to more government control and regulation.
He says in his closing comments that basically if you want the insurance companies to be held accountable, if you want it paid for, and if you want your cost to go down, that this is the plan that you need to get behind. Obviously, you disagree. Talk about the facts on some of those, especially the costs. What is the president either not telling us or getting wrong?
Well, he is not telling you that there are increased taxes, $500 billion in new taxes that's going to increase cost. He's not telling you about the $500 billion in cuts to Medicare that's doing nothing for Medicare solvency but creating new government entitlements. He's not talking about all the other federal mandates required in the bill, and he's certainly not talking about the special deals that are in the bill. You know, the only thing that we're going to be able to vote on that we're sure will become law is the Senate proposal. They can't change that one bit when it comes to the House for a vote. And in that Senate proposal, regardless of what they say they're going to do in reconciliation, are all these special sweetheart deals. You know, you've heard of the Cornhusker kickback and the Louisiana Purchase. That's a $300 million for a special adjustment for states recovering from major disasters like Louisiana. But there are also special deals for a local Connecticut hospital for Chris Dodd for $100 million. There are special deals for Bernie Sanders in Vermont and John Kerry in Massachusetts and drug companies in New Jersey and union health plans in Michigan and, you know, the Florida senior exemption that Bill Nelson got, the Montana coal miners, all kinds of special provisions for certain states like Hawaii, North Dakota. So those are still going to be in the bill and become law, even though they say with reconciliation they may change, tweak that, and that's not a guarantee.
Congressman, I don't know how much you talk about this with members in the Democratic caucus, but do they believe, the ones you've talked to, that the Senate will actually work on the changes that they're demanding if, in fact, they approve the Senate bill? How much confidence is there that even with reconciliation that their concerns would be addressed?
They're not real comfortable with that. They know that this is a long shot because the Senate will have probably thousands of amendments to this reconciliation bill, and you don't know what will be acceptable to both the House and the Senate in the reconciliation. So the only thing you can really bank on is that Senate bill becoming law and hopefully some changes with reconciliation. They've had a real problem getting the House members to vote for either the House bill, and the other bills are similarly a problem for many of the Democrats.
One of the things that, of course, that could scuttle even the House vote on the Senate bill as it currently exists, of course, is the issue of abortion. You and Congressman Stupak got language inserted into the original House bill that finally secured enough Democratic votes to get that passed. Now, of course, the Senate bill does not have that language, but there's a huge debate out there. Nancy Pelosi says the Senate language does not allow taxpayer funding of abortions. Congressman Stupak seemed to be able to cite page and paragraph as to where it did. What's the truth here?
Stupak is correct. I've got the page and the lines as well. And all the Stupak-Pitts Amendment does is keep the current law, status quo in the current law. You've heard of the Hyde Amendment. That only applies to the Medicaid provision. And every year we have to add that Hyde language to not only Medicare, but all the other government health care programs. We have to add that same amendment for SCHIP, Department of Defense, Indian Health, Federal Employee Health Benefits Programs. And all Bart and I were trying to do is for any new government program, apply that same language of no government funding for any abortion or abortion coverage. And our language does it. It's endorsed by the pro-life groups, the Catholic bishops. And when Nancy Pelosi made her statement in the health summit, the Catholic bishops came right back out after that and said she is wrong. It does pay for abortion.
You mentioned that you've got the pages as well. What does the bill specifically say about abortion without the Hyde language being inserted?
It does a couple of things, two major ways. It funds abortion directly through grants to community health centers, which includes Planned Parenthood clinics. That's increased under the new president's proposal by several billion dollars, with no restrictions on how the funds are to be used for paying for abortions. And the federal subsidy would allow funds to flow to private plans that include abortion, so abortion coverage without any conscience protection. So it does not include statutory provisions to prohibit government funding of abortion or abortion coverage.
Congressman, I think our listeners have a much better idea on this particular issue as well as the overall debate, thanks to your thoughts. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Pitts. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.